really was given, the context of it was when God reassured Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a son according to promise. And when he came to assure them and tell them a year later, or less than a year later, 9 months later, they will have a child, even though it's physically, humanly impossible, he did it as El Shaddai. That's the first time that that term for God is used in the Bible. So let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord to bless our time together. And I hope it'll be a profitable time for all of us as we study God's Word tonight. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that you have revealed yourself to us in many ways. And we thank you, Lord, that you have revealed yourself through these various names in the Word of God that discloses to us some characteristic of Almighty God. And we're thankful, Lord, for what you're teaching us. May we not just gain new information or more information as we study the names that you have revealed yourself with to mankind, but may we get to know you more intimately and trust you to do what you promised to do in your word. We know that nothing is impossible with you. And I pray this evening that you speak through me your word. Lord, I acknowledge my weakness, but I also acknowledge your strength. And your strength is made perfect through weakness. So we look to you to speak to our hearts tonight. Help us to read and hear and understand and believe and obey your word of truth. So speak to our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice the psalmist begins chapter 127 or the 127th psalm with the statement, "Lo, children are an heritage of Jehovah, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Notice the words that he uses here. He says that children are an heritage, and that Hebrew word there is rakalah, meaning something inherited or a gift, but not a burden. Children are a gift from God. They're not to be a burden. We're to recognize them as a great gift from him. I know one of my grandsons, his wife had been wanting to have a baby for about, 7 years since they got married, and so far, the Lord hasn't enabled them to have a baby, except they adopted a little girl just recently, a newborn babe. The mother was single, but thank God she chose life rather than death for her little one. And the baby is, mother is Japanese and Caucasian. And the daddy of the baby is Hispanic, so she's sort of, that combination, she sure did turn out pretty. And we sure do love her. I'm glad that my grandson and his wife wanted a baby that much. However, I wish they could have been in a service like this and listened. Not that we regret them adopting a children, but the Lord can still give them children of their own. And many times that happens when someone adopts a child. But we thank God for this little one. And even God had a purpose for her little life. You know, if that little child had not been taken care of by a mother who was willing to go ahead and have the baby and give it out for adoption, I'm glad she didn't have that little sweet little youngin aborted. Thank God for the beautiful little baby she is. And now, whether or not the mother would have raised this little one to be a godly seed, I know that Luke and Katie will rear this little one to be a godly seed for the glory of God. But children are a heritage of the Lord, not a burden, but a heritage. And notice the word reward. The Hebrew there is sakar, meaning payment of a contract or wages or reward. Isn't it wonderful that God rewards marriage with children? Especially we're thankful as Christians who love the Lord and who love little ones. I'm glad the Lord's given me a love for the little ones. That helps you stay a little younger when you get up in your 80s. And I never get tired of them running up and hugging me and wondering where the candy is. Some were little girls years ago, and now they're little girls are doing it. Aren't they, Carol? I remember Carol in the early days of the church when she was a girl. And so we've been giving away candy for years, but these little ones, it just blesses your heart when they come up, and some of them are so small they have to hug you around the leg, but anyway, you get a hug anyway, and thank the Lord for them. Your children are a blessing to me as well as to you. So children are given by God, and they are considered a blessing, not a burden. For notice it says, how happy is the man that has his quiver. Sometimes people have asked, what is a quiver? Who has his arrow case full of arrows. Children are spoken of as arrows. And the father having an arrow case full of them. And verse 4 says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. And I was reading in John MacArthur's study Bible a statement about verses 4 and 5. He says, as arrows are indispensable for a warrior to succeed in battle, so children are invaluable as defenders of their father and mother in time of war or litigation. The more such defenders, the better. So in the days of the psalmist, they didn't have machine guns and bombs and so forth. They used bows and arrows and swords. And here the psalmist speaks of these as being arrows in their father's quiver. And it also talks about their defending the home when and speaking with those who come against the city. So we're thankful for children. Not only are they a blessing, are they a heritage, and they bring happiness, but in the days of the psalmist, when the enemy came against the city, the more kids you had, the better off you were. And they, mom and dad, took care of them, and they took care of mom and dad. Now, notice it is Jehovah who opens and closes the womb. And we want to look at, first of all, how he opens the womb. And let us turn to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. In Genesis chapter 12, when Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldees, God spoke to him and told him to leave the pagan land, and he was probably a pagan at that time. His forebears undoubtedly worshipped false gods, but he told him to leave. Just by an act of God's sovereign grace, he chose Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees, which is modern Iraq, and to go to a land that he did not know about, and he would show to him. And it was the land of Canaan. And so Abraham went. And God promised to make of him an abundant nation of people. He chose him to be a chosen nation. And of course, we know he was chosen to be the father of faith. And so God told him that, made his covenant promise with him, first in Genesis chapter 12, then later in chapter 13 and 15, he extended that covenant with Abraham. And finally here in chapter 17 of Genesis, you have him telling them that he's going to carry out his promise to them. So notice Genesis chapter 17, first of all, verses 1 through 6. And when Abram, notice his name is still Abram at this time, not Abraham. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Well, didn't look like he was multiplying very exceedingly. He didn't have any children by Sarah. And not trusting God's sufficiency and trusting in their own insufficiency, they planned to have a child their way rather than God's way. And that was Ishmael, who was born to Hagar, the Egyptian, the bondmaid of Sarai. And notice he says, I will make my covenant between thee, me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, I guess that would make you fall on your face if you were almost 100 years old, 99 years old, and God tells you you're going to have a son by your wife of many years. So he fell on his face, and Elohim talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. How could that possibly be? A father of many nations. And here it's been 24 years since God promised him a seed and hasn't provided it as yet. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, father of a multitude. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make thy nation, make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto them, unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now the word El Shaddai, El means mighty God, and Shaddai here in this context speaks of the mighty one. Actually, the word Shaddai comes from the Hebrew word Shad, or Shad, S-H-A-D in English, and speaks of a woman's breast. He's talking about fruitfulness here, that God is going to make him exceeding fruitful, and that he will be a father of multitudes. And it would take a step of faith, wouldn't it, or falling flat on your face, one or the other, to believe that this would be possible when they were past childbearing. Then going on to chapter 17 and verses 15 through 21. And God said, that is Elohim, said unto Abram, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face. He's having a hard time standing up, about like I am sometimes lately. Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. And Elohim said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly, and he sure has. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time in the next year. Then going on to chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. And the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord said unto Sarah, as he had spoken, For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck, for I have borne him, a son in his old age. So here we see the story of God. 24 years after he promised a seed to them, he finally comes through according to his schedule, having tested Abraham's and Sarah's faith to show them their insufficiency of their own plans and the sufficiency of God. And notice the context of this is that this was when God revealed himself to Abraham as El Shaddai. And he promises, the main emphasis upon El Shaddai is that he makes the promised one fruitful. And we see that again happening with Isaac in Genesis chapter 28, if you'd like to look there, verses 1 through 4. Genesis 28, verses 1 through 4. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him, and said unto him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a bride from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. And El Shaddai bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. So here again is El Shaddai, who is the one who promises to Isaac that he will make him fruitful. And then we see the same thing happening with Jacob. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in chapter 35 of Genesis. Genesis chapter 35 and reading verses 9 through 12. And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And Elohim said unto him, I am El Shaddai. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land. So we see here, and we see it over and again, 48 times this name is used in the Old Testament and speaks so much of fruitfulness, human fruitfulness. Now, notice, the story of Jacob and Leah, going back to it for just a few minutes, we read that when the Lord, or Jehovah, saw that Leah was hated or odious to her husband, he opened her womb. So we see here God opening the womb of Leah. Remember the story how Jacob was fleeing from his brother Esau, who wanted to kill him. And he was sent by the father, after stealing Esau's blessing, he was sent to the home of Rebekah's father and her brother and family. And when he got to Padan Aram, to the town of Haran, he was at the well there after a long journey. I'm sure he was getting something to drink at the well for the town. And he asked some of the sheep herders there, did they know Laban, the brother of course, Rebekah? And they said, yes, we know him. In fact, here comes one of his daughters right now to water the sheep. And it tickles me. Boy, you talk about fast workers and love at first sight. It said he went over and kissed Rachel and lifted up his head and wept. I don't know why he wanted to cry about it. That sounded like he would have been laughing about it. But anyway, he met her and he wanted to marry her and talk with her father. But the father deceived him, and Jacob was a deceiver too. He got what he deserved. The father gave him Leah instead, because they were veiled, and the night when the marriage would be consummated, the sister, older sister, Leah, was sent to the tent where they would spend the night, and he didn't realize that he would spend the night with Leah rather than Rachel, so he had to work 7 years for Leah and seven more years for Rachel. So we find that story concerning Leah and Rachel. Well, Jacob didn't have the love for Leah like he did for Rachel. And so God, first of all, opens Leah's womb and gives her children by Jacob. But later we read concerning Rachel, Elohim remembered Rachel, and Elohim hearkened to her and opened her womb. Now he had kept it closed, but now he opens the womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, Elohim hath taken away my reproach. Notice God hearkened to her. She prayed for a child. She wanted a son. And God hearkened unto her and gave her a son. And she called his name Joseph, which means adding, because she not only thanked God for hearing her prayer and giving her a son, but that God was going to add another son, which he gave birth to just before her death. She died in childbirth, the last of the 12 sons of Jacob by the name of Benjamin. Now, there's another story in the Old Testament that I love to read about because it's such a touching story. And that's the story of Hannah and her son Samuel. Hannah was the wife of Elkanah, a Levite. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 5, we read, the Lord, that is Jehovah, had shut up her womb. Now, this is one of the sad things about marrying more than one wife. He had another wife by the name of Peninnah, I believe it was. But he loved Hannah more, but Hannah was unable to have any children. And the Lord had shut up her womb. And now Hannah makes a vow to the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. I'll get there. All right. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And notice what it says here. Let me find my passage here. Verses 10 through 20 and 27 and 28. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul, Hannah was, and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She wants a child. God has closed her womb. She's praying to God and weeping to God that she wants a son. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord, that is to Jehovah, all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. In other words, he would be a Nazarite, never to have his head shaven or cut or his hair cut. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli, who was the high priest, marked her mouth. He saw her mouth moving, but no words were coming out audibly. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken thereto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked from him. So she says, Go, God will answer your prayer. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come, about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. Now look at verses 27 and 28. Hannah says, For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. And what a great man of God Samuel was. He was the one who was such a dear friend of David. He was of Saul before, but was a man, a prophet, and a judge before the Lord. So here she prays for a son, and God gives her a son. So God opens the womb, and many times he opens it when people are willing to pray and trust God by faith. I'm not saying that God always answers every prayer, yes, but I believe it teaches us that we should pray about marriage, we should pray about childbearing, and we ought to seek the Lord because he is the one who gives and takes. He is the one who closes the womb, and he is the one who opens the womb. Now, in Genesis chapter 20, we have Abraham in a place called Gerar. And he was concerned about his wife. You know, before he had lied, saying that Sarah was his wife, was his sister rather than his wife. Sarah was actually a half-sister. They had the same father, but a different mother. So when they went to Gerar, a pagan place, he was concerned and afraid. So he told the king there that this was his sister. And so Abimelech, the king of Gerar, took Sarah into his house. Now, this is three chapters after chapter 17 when she was 100 years of age. And her name is now called Sarah, so it had to be after she gave birth to Abraham. I'm telling you, when you find a woman over 100 years old, and desirable, she must have been some gal because he wanted to take her as probably one of his concubines. Well, God warned Abimelech, who reproved Abraham for not telling him that she was not only his half-sister, but she was his wife. And in Genesis chapter 20, verses 17 and 18, we read, Abraham prayed unto Elohim, and Elohim healed Abimelech, and his wife, and his maidservants, or concubines, and they bear children. So there must have been some time spent there in Gerar for all of this to take place. But God had afflicted Abimelech, his wife, and his concubines, or maidservants, and they did not bear children. So notice what it goes on to say, For Jehovah had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Now going back to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6, concerning the birth of Samuel, it says concerning Hannah, Jehovah had shut up her womb. So that's the reason she was praying to God to open her womb, because God had shut it up. And Jehovah answered her prayer, and she gave birth to Samuel and called his name Samuel, meaning ask of God. Now, we don't have to go to the Bible to get all of our examples. It's been almost 15 years ago that one day Heidi Schmid came to me, she and Frank, and said, "Pastor Joner, we have wanted to have a child, and we have not been able to do so. We've been to doctors. We've done all we know to do. The doctor says you'll never have a baby. But we want you to pray for us that the Lord would enable us to have a child." So I said, "Fine." Now, this is almost 15 years ago. I got the elders together, and we did what the Word of God said. There was something wrong that kept her from having a child, so we knew that God could correct the problem, whatever it was. We anointed her with oil, and we prayed. And Heidi later told me, so far as they could try to date the time that she became pregnant with Matthew, was the very day that the doctor said, "You'll never have a baby." Well, that's a good opportunity for the Lord to show His power, as El Shaddai. And Matthew was born. They didn't call him Samuel, but they called him Matthew, which means a gift of God. He was a gift of God. God had a purpose for him because he was answered not, he came not only in answer to their prayers, but to the prayers of the elders of the church. And to me, when a mother or a wife wants to have, or a husband, they want to have children, they have not been able to do so, why don't you pray and say, "Lord, we want to raise a godly seed. Would it be pleasing to you to enable my wife now to have a baby?" And God can do so. He's done it on many occasions, and He can do it again. So she prayed for a son there at the tabernacle in Shiloh, and Jehovah answered her prayer, and she gave birth to Samuel, meaning as of God. And Heidi gave birth. But you know, Heidi not only got a son, a couple years later she got another son. The Lord did the exceeding abundant above all that they could ask or think. So God closes the womb. God opens the womb. We are dependent upon Him. And the thing I want us to see in closing is that the Word of God tells us that God forms the baby in the womb. There's so much evidence to that that it burdens me. It breaks my heart when I realize that people who want abortions or okay abortions or have abortions, it's not only a sin against that little baby that is being killed in the mother's womb, but it's a sin against God. Notice some verses of Scripture. First of all, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Jehovah said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee." Who formed that baby, Jeremiah, in the womb? "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." Amazing. "And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." He was set apart by the Spirit of God while he was still in the womb. God sanctified him while he was in the womb. "And I ordained thee." Now, that's being ordained pretty early in life, isn't it? I had to be about 20 before I was ordained, but he was ordained before birth by the Lord God. "I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations," unto the Gentiles. Then we also have the story of John the Baptist. John the Baptist's father was a priest, a Levitical priest there in Jerusalem. It was his responsibility to see that the fire and the altar of incense was burned at the time of the day when they offered their prayers to God. And that incense going up represented or symbolized the prayers going up to God. And so while he was doing his priestly work, an angel of the Lord came to him. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1. And let's see what it says. Luke chapter 1. I need me some of those tabs, don't I? I have all my scriptures. Luke chapter 1. And notice verses 11 through 18. And there appeared unto him, that is to John's father, there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness. Well, yes, children bring happiness, don't they, to a family. Thou shalt have joy and happiness, for many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, Jehovah, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. Now, here's a baby. Life begins at conception. Here's a baby, just 6 weeks, 6 months after conception, 3 months before it was born, is filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him, that is the Messiah, in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zacharias said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years, but how should I? And the angel answered and said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb, says to Zacharias, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And so there was born John the Baptist, a cousin of Jesus Christ. His mother was a cousin of Mary, Elizabeth was. And God intervened by giving birth to this son. Now, in closing, let's turn to Psalm 139. Excuse me, I'm having a little problem. I have some eye problems, and my eyes are tearing up, and it's hard to see my reading. So, Psalm 139. And reading verses 1 through 6. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, Surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as a day. The darkness and the light are both alike. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Isn't that wonderful to know that God was protecting that baby as it was being born and formed in the mother's womb? I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Made by whom? Made by God. Made marvelous. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect or unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. God had a book. He had written down what members of his body he was going to be born with. Some are not born with all the members of their body. God had knowledge of all this as he formed the baby in the womb. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. What tremendous words concerning the birth of children. Remember, when God created Adam and Eve, one of the first things he said was, be fruitful and multiply and replenish, or can also be translated, fill the earth. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, we have these words. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Beloved, we don't need to go our way. We need to go his way and trust him in all of our ways. And this matter of marriage and having children is the most important thing in life other than being born again of the Spirit of God. The most important thing is to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But the next decision is who I am to marry and how I'm going to trust him for the children he wants me to have, and to be willing to pray that God's will be done in the situation. Now, Malachi chapter 2, verse 15 says this, and did not he, Jehovah, make one? Speaking of the husband and wife being married. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. God's first concern about a marriage is that two who trust in him marry and rear a godly seed. God wants a godly seed. And in these days when the ungodly are putting their unborn children to death, we as God's people need to see the sanctity not only of marriage, but the sanctity of life, and trust God to let us raise up a godly seed. I'll tell you, if we don't get some more godly seed in this country, the ungodly are going to really take over, sure enough. So remember, God's more interested in you having children than you are, because his purpose for your marriage is, in most cases, because sometimes God doesn't see fit to, and I don't want people to feel guilty before the Lord, pray about it, trust the Lord, whether he is going to close or open the womb. But pray about it, trust him, be earnest about it, shed some tears about it if the Lord so lead. But trust him to bless your marriage with children. Shall we pray? Father, we're thankful that children are a heritage of the Lord. They are a gift, they are not a burden. And Father, we're thankful for our children. Lord, you know the special love I have in my heart for these little ones, and how I look forward to each little one who is born, to be able to love that child, to pray for that child, and to have some input into that child's life. Bless our little ones, I pray. And Father, that's one thing I love about my Savior so much. He said, permit the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Bless our little ones, we pray. May we realize how precious they are, how valuable they are. And we know that the fruit of the womb is precious in your sight. And we're thankful that you're very much concerned about the conception and the formation of the baby in the mother's womb. And we're thankful, Lord, even when Mary came to see Elizabeth and told her that she was going to give birth to the Messiah, and Elizabeth was going to give birth to the forerunner of the Messiah, that the baby, John the Baptist, the baby leaped in with joy, for joy in her womb. So, Lord, we just don't understand everything that happens, how much a baby knows, how conscious they are of the Spirit's fullness in their life in some of these instances, or for the joy to hear good news. But Lord, help us to realize how important it is that we take care of the wife and the mother during the days when she's carrying the baby, because I believe the baby knows more and learns more than we realize. And we know you're at work forming that body, making sure each member that you have in your book is in place, and preparing that little one to be a godly seed for the glory of God. Thank you for the privilege of sharing this tonight. In my humble way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Let's sing one stanza of 74, please.